rain and jig them in the fall. It brings in the slobs and a little bit of something. We put them back cause you know this is Muskie Country.
Born in the Northwoods, yeah, I was born in the Northwoods, yeah, I was born in the Northwoods, yeah, I was born in the Northwoods, yeah, I was.
This is Todd from Family Suckers. Welcome to the Family Suckers Radio Hour. While we wait on our overlords, here's a little patriotic ditty from Lee Greenwood and Zach Wilde.
I'm proud to listen to 360. It's the podcast for me. And I won't forget the pike I killed, cause they were not muskies. I can hardly stand up in my boat, cause I've had too much Pepsi. But I'll still listen to Muskie 360. God bless Muskie 360.
Oh my God, Jay. Hey, Steve.
Oh my good dude. It's like somebody. That is
what's
real.
That?
Dude, that's ridiculous.
Well, I live close to the war zone, or I think that's probably. That. That was a J-dam, okay? I'm not kidding. Wow.
Oh my God.
We're cooking here in the Northwoods, Stevie.
Oh my good dude. Happy 4th of July, everybody.
Happy 4th of July, everybody.
Jay is currently storming the beaches of Normandy, and I'm here in nestled in Tennessee.
It's real.
It's real, folks. Oh my dude. Oh my God, that's so bad. It's been all day.
You deal with your own kind of street gunfire down there too. Occasionally, they walk up and down the streets, just flinging them everywhere, don't they?
For our listeners in Cook County, Illinois, this sounds very familiar. Oh my God, dude, that's so bad.
It'll be done pretty soon. We're in the clear in about 10 minutes.
Hey, listen, stand up and shout. Oh my goodness, Jay. Well, what's going on?
Well, it's been a cooking weekend here.
Been
in the Northwoods.
Folks,
we've
been trying for like 3 hours to do the podcast. It's like, it was at Jay's house. Now it's at my house. It's everywhere. It is just heinous. It is, what is it, the second?
Yeah.
Jay, when will you guys be in mainland France?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Anyway, through telepathy. What's going on in the Northwoods? Have you been listening to the Northwoods Fishing Report with Josh Krieger? Are you dialed in, Jay?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Jay just died, everybody. Say a prayer. It just sounded.
Get down!
Get down!
Down!
Get down! Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Do you live at the Jay? Everybody, Jay lives at the fair. Jay lives in a tent at the fairgrounds, everybody. He can't afford a house. He lives in a small pop-up tent at the fairgrounds.
I live pretty close to the community park where they shoot these things.
This is
beginning. It's 24/7 in the Northwoods.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I can't even talk to you because it's like, it's like call me back, dude. This is so stupid. Jay?
Yeah, Steve.
It sounds just like small arms firing out of your house.
Wow.
Folks, I apologize. Yeah. Every week we do this and we mitigate as many outside. That is not fake. That is real. Jay was just blown up. He is dead. This is the ghost of Jay.
Volley of cluster bombs just hit the community park like a quarter mile away.
Wow. Jay just took two potato mashers to the face. And looking for a new host.
I'm okay. I made it through it.
So there's a contest this week. You want to be the next host of the Muskie 360? I don't think Jay's going to make it. Anyway, that was funny. It doesn't end, dude. It's this time of year. It's like you have dogs. If you own a dog, you know the hell I'm going through.
Yeah, it's really hard on those animals, isn't it?
It is. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's hard on people that have heard that in a fun, non-fun way. So lots of explosionos. Anyway, Jay. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. We've got to get after it. I was talking about Krieger's doing the Northwoods Fishing Report. Things are happening. Here's what I wanted to throw in this mix, because last week we were talking midsummer patterns. Here's the deal.
Yeah.
You tune in, you want a good tidbit for what you're doing. I don't care where you're at in the muskie habitat range. July is peak and it is warm, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've thought about it all week long. How do we, like last week, we sort of mamby-pammied about, people are calling, yada, yada, yada. What do we talk about here? If you're fishing July and you're fishing muskies and it is freaking good conditions or bad conditions, rubber's on one rod. Rubber's on your mind. Would you agree with that, Jay?
Yeah.
Medusas, bulldogs, tubes. Think rubber, because a lot of these fish are going to stage mid-depth. They're going to stage down the majority of the day. So the big next level tip I'll give you. Right now, you're outside the major, it's not sunrise, it's not sunset, and you're outside the major, be fishing just at the top of cover, just at the top of structure, right? That will be sort of the thought process I'm going for overall. It is super late, guys, and you're like, oh my God, these guys, like, I'm killing myself here, Jay. Right? It's
you are?
Yeah.
You had a long day.
Yeah, it's a long day. We're trying our best here. We just had to fight through, like, my explosions, your explosions. We're just going to cut to Q&A. I'm sorry. Long day. Jay, you saw what I sent you, though, today.
Nice fish, Steve. Yeah,
that is on. And I blew my cover, Jay. Do you realize last week I had a slip, a Freudian slip, if you will?
No, okay. I don't remember that one.
It really wasn't Freudian, because that's gross. But I said Kraken. What's crack-a-lackin', Jay?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's a top secret.
Yeah.
I heard the theme song. Very nice, by the way.
The Kraken theme song. Guys, I'm sorry. Your buddy's got another bait coming up here very, very shortly. Been working on this for a hot minute. The Kraken from Livingston Lures. So it's going to be interesting, Jay. A couple guys picked up on it. I didn't even know I said it because I'm retarded.
I do remember you saying that, you know.
Well, you know.
Yeah, you sit there, you're working on new baits all day, and me, I'm just working on my rap album.
Sweating all day. Well, I'm producing said album.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be fantastic. First one up, Jeff. Hey, guys, will any of the Spitfire stuff be back in stock anytime in the near future? No. Unfortunately, it will not. However, the Kamikaze will be coming back within, I think, the next couple weeks.
That's soon. Okay.
Yeah. We'll explain what happened there. My dear friend Ben invented that bait. I'll have him on the podcast and we'll talk about it. So everything's good. There will be a version of that very shortly, right? However, he's not going to be able to make them anymore, so somebody else is. And it's going to be awesome, and it's going to be the same quality. All right, Sean, what are the pink days for August and September?
The what days?
It says, Sean, what are the pink, P-I-N-K, days for August and September? Sink the pink, Jay.
I don't know what tink days are.
Pink, P-I-N-K, pink.
Pink days.
I have no clue.
Okay.
I don't know. Apparently I've been missing out on pink days my entire Muskie career. I'm not sure, dude. There might be some crazy, interesting solar lunar things or whatever. I'm not judging. Send me an email. Tell me what pink days are. I will dig in. Dylan, do you think Elmer Jensen would be upset if someone had a t-shirt made that said Elmer Jensen for president 2024 and wore it to the Muskie?
Oh, man. That'd be epic. I'd love that.
I'll be mad if you don't, Jay.
Yeah. Get one for me, too.
Yeah, that would be pretty spot on. Anthony. Hey there. This is Anthony from down here in central Wisconsin. I was delivering for FedEx last Monday. Oh, goodness. I've seen this.
Does he live near Plover?
So I heard something so good it stopped me in my tracks. Well, actually, I wasn't walking on tracks. I was rummaging through people's packages looking for Muskie gear. But that's neither here nor there. I heard if I were to email Livingston Lures with a funny bit, I could win something. I read his email. This is ridiculous. Anthony, you win. It cracked me up. There's so many good emails for the Livingston contest. So, Anthony, I have your email, your Gmail here. Email Eric and said you won, or say you won, and he'll get you taken care of. That was just stupid funny.
Cool.
Oh, my goodness. Guys, I don't even have the emails pulled up. We've been playing all day, like trying to just get this podcast up and done. Okay, Adam. Odd question, but here it goes. The lake I fish 90% of the time is a shallow reservoir, but clocks in at a large 17,000 acres. Abundant weeds, but fish tend to scatter come June and July in open water. The trolling pressure on the lake is immense, but casting pressure slim. We struggle to get any fish activity on blades, few and far between. Shad, perch, and crappie are primary food. Any thoughts on lakes 5 through 20 miles away blades produce? And rubber seems to be main producers. So, any thoughts on lakes? Okay, so lakes that are 5 to... I see what you're saying. Lakes that are 5 to 20 miles away. So, we got a lake that has a bunch of weeds, and everybody trolls it, and the other bodies of water in the area produce on casting. If you're not getting what you want, and there's a lake, I can think of this lake. It's a trolling lake.
Mm-hmm.
Troll at night. My brain goes night trolling for crazy big fish. You know, especially June and July. If he's saying the trolling pressure is immense, but casting is slim, I would troll at night if pressure's high on trolling. If you want to cast, what I would do is position my boat on the first break and cast out to the deeper break. That would be my take, you know, for what it is.
Sure.
I'm trying to get through them, Jay. I apologize. Oh, my goodness. There's so many this week, guys. I'm falling apart. It took us eons to get the show off this week because just absolutely Jay's world's been blown up. Hey, guys, first off, I want to thank you both for all the work you do on and off the show. Steve, I'm reading your book and I was wondering through, or I'm working through the Read the Water chapter. While reading the consistent checkpoint portion, a specific question came to mind. When doing a bait fish check, first thing, are we patterning for midday fishing? In other words, is this specifically to target when we're not fishing shallow feeding zones early in the morning, evening, or other scenarios? So, that is from Iron Pike Tyson, right?
That's great, a good name, one. Great
name. And guys, I apologize. I'm not trying to phone it in. There's just a billion of these this week. So, in the book, I talk about a concept, which is we're going to do a consistent check. 1, 2, 3. Shallow, mid, deep with our electronics, right? What I'm referring to is no specific time when we launch the boat. I might do that check throughout the day, but whenever I launch and I need to figure it out, I'm going to hit it. Bam, bam, bam. Right? So as it morphs throughout the day, I might check it again. I might sort of see something change on my Garmin. I might see it change on my Lowrance or my Hummingbird. But I'm going to do that check right off the rip. So it has little to do with time of day. It has to do with whenever I launch. It will give me a vibe on what's going on any given day, any time of the day. So find your three consistent checkpoints and use them every time you launch. You might not be able to. Jay, your cousin might have his bar mitzvah at 10 a.m. Mazel tov, right? You can't launch until noon. Still do your three consistent checkpoints. 1, 2, 3. Use those checkpoints. I'm not going to tell everything, the whole secret on this thing, but use your checkpoints I'm talking about in the book as outlined there as a baseline regardless of time of day. Let's say you lose the bite, Jay, right? Let's say we got one. Bam. Holy crap, we got one. And now we got nothing. Do it again. Readdress. Reassess. Make an assessment on the situation. Anytime you're in doubt, do that check. That would be my take. Troy, hey guys, just finished reading. I'm not plugging the book. These are just the emails as I see them. Hey guys, just finished reading Next Level of Muskies for the first time. I'm going to apply some of Steve's reservoir tactics on my local lake here in Iowa. Just started muskie fishing about 3 years ago, and I caught my second muskie ever on that lake in spring on a Steve Paul Special Titan Jr. Water temps in the lake are hovering around the upper 80s. The reason for my question is I sat in on a session on Steve and... Hold on. I'm skipping here. Okay. This is about water temps, right?
Okay.
Should we back off muskies when we get into high temperatures?
Very debatable. High temperatures meaning it hits 80.
I mean, he's saying upper 80. Yeah, 80s. I've always heard it's bad. Right? Here's what I'll say, right? If it's your local water,
Here's one. Let's say it's 82 degree water temp, surface temp. It's late July. Wherever you are, could be anywhere. You get a muskie. It's not a big muskie. Like me, I've caught muskies and not taken pictures of them. It's not that important to me. What am I going to do with the picture? And not to mention, if I'm fishing by myself, it's not that easy. Chances are they're going to be out of the water for a little bit longer period of time than I want them to be in that situation too. You know, release them in the net and let it go.
I'm so on the fence on this, and I hate to say that because I always want to set a good example, right? Whether you believe it or not. If you're fishing at home, give them a break, right? Why even risk it? If it's your local watering hole and you can fish it anytime you want.
Yeah, yeah.
Give them a break. The argument I've always heard is I've driven to Canada, and we've got 80-degree water temps, but the trolling motor's reading 74. I'm there, dude. I don't care about superficial water temps. If I see 80 on the transom, my boat doesn't draft crap, right? 80 on the transom means nothing to me. I'm gauging off the trolling motor. Okay? 52-inch trolling motor. I go, dude, this stuff is 74. That's what I'm thinking, right?
Sure.
I'm not going to rag nor fault anyone that takes 1 week off work and they have 1 week a year to go to the Northwoods or Minnesota or Canada. I don't care if it's 467-degree water temperature, fish. Sorry. If they hit, they hit. We did that thing eons ago, and everybody copied me, by the way. Everybody became big fans on Talking Water Temp. I had Jordan Weeks on forever ago about that. And he said, a fish in distress is not going to eat. Now, where I'm at, and I'm just calling it like it is, I've had way too many Pepsis. If you want to nail me to the cross, whatever. I got better fish to fry. I'm not going to jig, dude. If it's like 83, I'm not jigging. And I'm saying it's like superficial. I'm not going to pull a fish off the bottom and pull them up, right?
Yeah, that's what I thought you were getting at, sure.
Yeah, I mean, don't like...
Because that would be more stressful because they're going from different water extremes too quickly. Like, okay.
The thing in the South, I always hear this. They're more adapt to the hot water. It don't matter. Does it? You can't prove that. No one can prove it. There's no empirical data. I'm not going to fight with you. Do what thine will, right? Whatever. I mean, it's Solomon Rushdie of musky fishing is where I'm at, Jay. Do what thine will. Whatever makes you happy, I don't care. Cheers, right? However, I'm not going to target a fish that's 22 feet down and I got 83 surface temp and I got 80 degrees on the trolling motor, right? Often our 1 foot, 2 foot read is like kind of superficial, right? Our trolling motor seems to be a bit more accurate of what's going on. I'm not going to fault anybody. I've never once, there's nobody on planet Earth that can go, Steve and Paul has ragged somebody about anything they've done musky fishing. I've been ragged about all kinds of stuff. You'll never find me giving a rat's about what anybody else has done. I don't care. Right? Do what you will. Be smart about it. That's, what do you think, Jay? I mean, I'm so absolutely sick of the hot water conversation. I'm so sick of the sanctimonious stuff.
Well, the way I look at it, in my backyard, where we have a lot of different lake options, depth, you know, and water clarity and all that, you know, I mean, in the shallow lakes around here that are dark water, they get super hot really fast. It doesn't take long, you know, by come late July when you've got sustained 80s and sun every day. It's just like, but what I'm getting at is it's, we could just lake hop. It's just like you pull in, you go, and that happened to us last year. Right. We pulled into a lake and went, this is too warm. It, literally, we went to the next lake and it was 6 degrees surface temperature cooler, I think. And it's like, okay, this isn't bad here. We can deal with this. So we have that option, but a lot of people don't. I get it.
The argument would be, though, in some capacity, right? So the fish in these stain lakes that get hotter, Jay, are they more acclimated? I'm not going to touch it with a 10-foot pole. I don't care. Right? I can't stop.
Or do they acclimate quicker or easier because they're in that situation? It's just, that's their environment. That's their world. Right. You know, it gets really hot. You know, the temperature varies much quicker than it would on a really deep, clear lake in northern Wisconsin, for example.
You know, I'm not here to judge. I don't care. Do what you will.
Enough said.
That's it. I mean, God, you'll never hear a negative word out of my mouth. I don't care. use common sense. I love these things way too much. I try to take care of them. I also make a living off of and hook them in the face with 7-aught treble hooks. You know, we hurt the
brutal world,
Jay. We hurt the ones we love the most.
Oh, isn't that true?
You know, for the over sanctimonious thing with musky fishing.
If you want to spend your summer on the couch instead of going out and fishing, it's like, you know, because you feel like you might hurt them. Okay, that's your call, man. That's fine.
And I'm tired as all get out. And guys, I apologize for rambling. I'm not even that pacificated. I'm just like, ugh, bombed. Use common sense, right? Don't target deep fish in hot water conditions. Don't drag something off the bottom up. You know, conserve. I mean, it's all our job to be stewards of what we have. You know, I'm never going to advocate something ridiculous or anything of that nature. But, you know, at the end of the day, this is fun. This is frivolity. This is novelty. Don't judge somebody else unless you're in the boat with them. You know, shut up. I don't care. Have a good time. Jay, it's like my stance on anything else. I just want everybody to have a good time.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
And that's my political stance, right? Whatever. Okay. We'll talk about anything. That's really where I'm at, dude.
Elmer, for president.
No, Elmer not for Elmer for Chancellor of the Galaxy. So, folks, we can't talk U.S. elections, Jay. Jay, you got me right there because I'm a mess right now. Folks, I want to talk to you. Serious talk, right, Jay? You ready?
Lay it on me.
Are you sitting down?
Yeah.
Elmer Jensen is not running for president any longer. He is running for Chancellor of the Galaxy. So, cast your vote this November. Nobody can get mad at that, Jay. How are you going to get mad?
No.
What? No what?
No, you couldn't get mad at Elmer.
That he's Chancellor of the Galaxy?
He's an ambitious man, you know. He gets these ideas in his head and he runs with them. And he goes 100%. He never, never stops. He never quits, Steve.
There was a vicious attack on his life. Now he's been left disfigured. Much like Emperor Palpatine.
I lost you on that one.
Don't worry about it. It's a Star Wars reference. Anyway, Josh! First of all, thanks for everything you guys do with the podcast. I enjoy listening every Monday morning.
Well, thanks.
Thank you. For the past 10 years, my family has stayed on I'm not going to say the lakes.
That darn lake?
Yeah, darn lake and the one connected to it. The week starting with a bash. I struggle connecting with fish. Usually only raising one or two and maybe catching one throughout the week. Was wondering if you could give me any pointers. I'm also fishing solo and usually getting to fish in the morning and then maybe a couple hours here and there throughout the day when I can get away. Are there any other lakes in the area? So, Jay, that's right in your home water, neck of the woods. Josh, if you want to have pointers on lakes you could hit, call Jay at the muskie shop. So,
pointer number one would be troll. Troll out there, because everyone casts those lakes.
So, let's go off, Josh, the launch everyone uses, right? The public launch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't go north, go south. Don't turn left, turn right. Would you agree, Jay?
I think it has less pressure. Sure. I hear you.
Darn. Not saccharine. Darn and saccharine. So, correct my brain. Is darn north or is saccharine south from the ramp?
I'm trying to figure out which one's which. Okay. Saccharin's north.
Okay.
To the left.
So if I turn out of that ramp, right, where you saw the 48 in the center.
Yeah, that's true.
So if I turn right out of that ramp, I'm on Saccharin?
Darn it.
Okay. So.
No, it's the other way around. Yeah, who cares?
Whatever.
Just keep going, Steve. Go to the right.
Public launch, turn right. God, dude, I'm a frick. Jay, if you only knew what happened to me last night. Got off the boat. Let's try this new restaurant, right?
And you guys. No, I thought you were going to tell me what broke now.
No, no.
Okay.
You guys are like.
Good.
If you're like, Steve Paul's an idiot, fantastic. I didn't sleep last night. I was like, oh, let's try this new place. It looks great.
Sushi?
No. It was a burger place. I sat on the edge of the tub next to the toilet for like 6 hours. Like, it's coming.
Wonderful.
And
got okay.
And guided all day. So that I have lost my mind. Six Pepsis don't do this to me. This is sleep deprived in 9 Pepsis. Anyway, so... There are some humps out in the middle. I want you to stick on a Joe Booker depth radar. I want you to troll that string of humps on the lake that is turn right out of the public launch. Jay, what are you doing?
Nothing.
It sounds like you're like literally beatboxing or chopping bamboo.
It's the rap album. It's the backup track.
It sounds horrible. So, we're going to turn out of the public launch, and we're going to find the three humps out there, right? That is your main goal during the course of the day. Everything else, get on the shallow edges. That's kind of a deeper, not deeper, but a deeper basin, so your edges will be a trick there. Joe Booker Depth Raider, Living Lure Striker.
Yeah.
Check out the Muskie 360 app. Run them where they'll hit the top of those humps and just keep doing it and doing it and doing it well. If you're a rapper, Jay, you know who that was. A little LL for you.
Okay. Yeah, there's some good rock out there.
What?
Good. Excellent fish holding zones on those humps. They are those triples.
Fish holding zone. What's a fish and what's a holding zone?
Oh, it draws in the walleyes, the bottom feeders, I tell you.
I don't think the big stuff's going to happen anytime soon.
I don't think the heavy stuff's coming down for quite a while.
Guys, it's downhill from here. I'll be with Jay in just a few weeks, and it's like going to just get worse. So
it's going to get crazy.
Jim, when you see that boil on the surface of the water caused by bait fish, what, in your opinion, is going on there?
Mm.
What is the best way to respond? A boil by a bait fish. So, here's my thing, and it drives me boo, coo, bat shit on the boat, Jay.
It does?
A fish just jumped.
Yeah.
There was a fish jumping. There you go.
There's a reason for it.
No. Most of the time, there's not.
Oh, I don't know about that.
You'll see. No, follow me here.
Let me hear what you're... Oh, go ahead.
You will see some kind of... disturbance on the surface. Often it is a bait fish or a small fish eating. Unless yeah. that fish is running for his life and losing his mind, I'm not thinking musky. If I see a surface disturbance, I go, okay, there's feeding bait fish in this zone. Right.
Right. Smallmouth just popped a little butterfly or something. Or, yeah.
Dude, think about a 4-inch bluegill.
Sure.
Eating a bug. It's going to create a little surface disturbance in a calm situation.
Yeah.
Until I see fish like flipping out and running for their lives, I'm not thinking much of it. What I will say is this. When I see bait fish feeding, the everything's a predator in the water. When I see these predators taking advantage of a surface bite, I'm going to shallow up my entire musky game. Right? So if I'm seeing surface activity, shallow your whole game up.
That's a good call. Good call. Right?
Outside of that, unless I see a walleye or a perch or a shad or whatever it might be in that system, bust the surface like, oh, crap, I don't want to die. I'm not thinking the muskies are losing their mind, right? Anyway, Jay, we should take a second here. It's my fault, and I'm a horrible host. And I'm sort of slumped over. I'm leaning on my right arm, Jay, if you can imagine, right? Right now. Can of Pepsi in my left hand, right? Slumped over my right arm. I'm wearing a Tanya Tucker t-shirt. Right? This is the
She's from Tennessee, right?
Who cares? She made her riches here. You know, you do a tour or two or a show or two, you get a Tanya Tucker t-shirt. I neglected to talk about what's happening July 15th, Jay. Lay it on them.
Musky Shop Bash. Mega power panel, including Bassmaster Classic winner, Randy Howell. That alone is worth the price of admission. And by the way, Steve, the price of admission is 100% free. Free it's parking.
1 pound of flesh.
Just, we've got plenty of parking.
We have fillet knives at the door. You have to cut off 1 pound of your own flesh.
You got BFF, Big Fabulous Freddy. He'll be doing some fine cooking. We got fine food and drinks. And, we've got tents all over the place. A huge tent for the power panel, which also includes you, Stephen Paul, Joe Booker, Smitty, Jay, Russ Smitty Smith, and Steve Herbeck.
Will you be pitching a tent?
That is done for us.
Matt, hello. How are summer patterns on the... Oh, my goodness, man. Whatever, dude. We're just going for this one. How are summer patterns on the Chippewa flowage? I'm going up mid-July, and everything I read makes it sound like the shallow weed bucktail and topwater is just a tourist pattern. But I'll be there during a new moon, which makes me think those lures may work well. Trying to research as much as possible about the chip and take an educated approach. I'm thinking trolling near open water structure might also be good. Bet, what do you think? So,
yeah.
The chip. Talk about pressure. Under pressure.
Yeah, it gets pressure, sure.
Right? What's a not... What do you not do on the chip, Jay? Double tens?
Personally, I would not choose that, no. Okay. I would
rebound on
smaller bucktails, yeah.
Pounders?
No, you're asking me... No, no.
Okay, no pounders.
Too big.
Would we throw a fat basket?
Sure.
Okay. Jay's in with the fat best.
Yeah, topwater lure.
Okay, so what is with the chip, and I've never had a ton of luck there.
I fished it once.
Well, say...
And I know a lot of people that fish it. Really, well, yeah, I know people that guide on it, too.
What's the thought from the guys that are running over there from the shop and guiding it? What's sort of the vibe?
The vibe is the chip is on and off. It's up and down every year. And if it's not happening, they go to, you know, the lake next door.
Yeah.
And that's as simple as I can explain it. I've heard it 1,000 times.
I was trying to lead you by the nose there and you did it. Be versatile in what you're willing to do. If it ain't cracking, don't sit there and beat your brain in.
Yeah. It's cool water, though. It really is.
It is. And I mean... Some of these waters, the chip is just historically, that's like big musky water, Louis spray or whatever it might be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Man. I'm going to think, and I love what he said, trolling the outside edges. I'm thinking that. I'm thinking after dark. I mean, when I think pressure, I think after everyone's gone home, right? All the dinguses go home 30 minutes before sunset, right? We're putting the Lund on the trailer, boys. We're going for the fish fry. Fish when no one else is fishing and do what no one else is doing because no one else is catching the amount of muskies you want to catch. That's it. I would say there's probably, of all the pressure on the chip, 90% of his bucktail oriented.
Right? Yeah.
90% is bucktail, 90%, the other 10% is topwater. If you come to pressure water with a badass glide bait and a badass tube and rubber game, You're going to catch fish.
I mean, it's the definition of traditions on a ship, you know, and people take it to heart too much, I think. You know, like, exactly, that's the game plan, Steve. You just nailed it.
Right. Do something different. Oh, my goodness. Brendan, emailing you again from the cold streets of Mogadishu. I'm going to order a new boat this fall, and I'm strongly considering a Low Legacy, which is their most basic 18-footer, that can get a 90 horse on it, or possibly a similar Mod V with another company. Although I live in Minnesota, majority of my fishing is done on small lakes under 5,000 acres. I like the idea of a Mod V with them being less expensive and having so much casting space. I know you run the Lows. I do. How well would a similar boat hold up in a windy day? Blah, 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 blah. General positive and negative of a Mod V versus a Deep V for a Minnesota angler. Okay, so I don't like fishing when it's blowing a mortal hell. Don't. Me, Jim, and the Tubes, or me, Jay, and the Tube Screamer went out. The last time I remember was really bad. Remember that trip, Jay?
The trip out west?
Yeah, and it was just, like, gnarly.
Oh. Yeah, it was nasty.
Didn't have a good time. I don't want to fish in big stuff, per se, anymore. And you can say, hey, you're a chicken. Well, no, I'm freaking 41 years old, and I don't want to die in a boat with strangers anymore. Don't care. Like, if I tell my client, like, listen, we're going in, it's too rough, and they're like, you're a pansy. Okay, dude, I'm a pansy. At a certain point, you stop caring. There's no longer I'm going to keep the boat in gear with the trolling motor on top of it to fight four-footers to throw a bulldog at a reef. I don't care enough. If you care enough, maybe you need a deep V. What I like about Mod Vs is the stability on the casting deck. Hands down, Low makes an exceptional boat, and you realize Low does not spend money on advertising. Therefore, it's passed on to the consumer. So, there you have it. Yeah. What I'll say about just boats in general, everybody's going to aluminum, as you should, in my opinion. Fiberglass, you hit something, you're going to pay out the nose. Aluminum's infinitely repairable. What else? You need less thrust on the trolling motor, yada, yada, yada. It just weighs less, it pulls better, whatever. I pull mine with a cheap Trailhawk. You're not going to find me in the big stuff anymore. I don't care. I don't catch enough fish in it, Jay. If you're bopping up 4 feet, how much speed and depth control do you have?
Yeah, it's super ineffective.
I mean, you like,
know, it's just like desperation. It's like, well, we're on a trip, you know, we got to make do.
I caught them.
Let's deal with it.
I know what to do, and it sucks. And I'm going to barf in my hotel room when I'm done. I mean,
that's not good.
Well, that's from Pepsi. No, it's, you know, I'm just not there. I mean, I don't care enough. A whole other tip I could get down at some point would be musky fishing should be fun, Jay, right? We should have a good time doing this. Mm-hmm. If I'm sitting there going, we might die, I'm out. Right?
I tend to agree.
As a guide, I had this conversation this week. We're talking about Canada, he says. A lot of you guys up there, a lot of guys that run up there, they go, they'll just run right at lightning. I said, not me. Right? They're running into the storms or like on. I have had my line float at my rod tip and my arm hair stand.
Yes.
I'm done.
Yes.
I mean, like, if that's what it takes for you to feel like a man at the end of the day, right, Jay? If you have to face down danger to catch a 34 inch fish, I don't care. I mean, congratulations. Proud of you. Yeah, you're not going to get one of me because I was in the cabin and I was having a steak. Don't care anymore. That's just generality. Most people, Jay, at this point, most people are like, Steve's rambling. He's really dumb today. I'm just tired. But when it comes to boats, it comes to like trolling motors, it comes to all this stuff. I'll tell you this. Buy the biggest boat you can afford, right? If you can afford a 16, a 16's an awesome boat. If you can afford a 20, buy a 20, right? There's very few boats above that. Okay, whatever. The other thing I would note would be this, is outboard rarely matters. Buy the biggest trolling motor you can. That would be my only points on a boat. And fish it accordingly. I mean, there's no merit badge for being an idiot. Right? No world records will be caught in 4-foot rollers. Don't care. You know, that's just realistic. If you want to stand out in them, you're not going to have me on your boat. Oh, my God. We're so behind on Q&A, Jay. I'm just an idiot.
Lots of Q&A. Okay.
Any chance it'll be an audiobook version of Next Level Musky Fishing for people that don't have the time to sit and read? Thanks, Jay. Will you spend the 6 hours to record that?
I would, but I think it would be better suited to have someone like maybe Elmer or DJ Tommy Fresh. You're picturing it mentally right now. That would be cool.
Hi, this is Tom Rudis from the Musky Shop.
Welcome to Minocqua. Yeah. Well, guys, that'd be a fun project,
We'll work on this winter. We will. There's a bunch of people that ask about audiobook. I'll try to get to it. I'll try my best. Zach, thank you, Jay and Steve. My father-in-law and I have been struggling to catch muskies for the past few years. We usually go out fishing for only a couple of weekends per year at the local water near this house. Okay. We both started trying to fish for them about 4 years ago. Yesterday, we had a 3-muskie day. That's the same amount of muskie we caught in the past 4 years combined. Congratulations. Good job.
Yeah.
It's amazing how many things that you have discussed on the podcast that were absorbed and was helpful for us. A few things I especially thought of that worked were trying a giant killer over a steep drop off so it would get low in the water column, using big rubber lures as a cast back, suggestion from Next Level Musky Fishing. Picking a small handful of places and repeatedly hitting them, yes, multiple times throughout the day, instead of trying them once and continue looking for a new spot, and making sure you communicate well with your net person. We were very clear with each other when it was time to haul them into the net. All the fish were safely released. It's a day we'll never forget. Thank you for your help and all your guidance. Jay, that's it.
Super cool.
Thank you. All right, dudes. I'm riled up today.
Woo! Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm like the Ric Flair musky fish, and I am the nature boy Stephen Ball coming at you today.
He's sunburned, he's dehydrated, and
I'm
hungry.
Dehydrated is correct, folks. I was not in the sun today, but I've had 14 Pepsis, and I'm extremely dehydrated. Number one. Shut your mouth and listen. So, number two. All right. In all seriousness, I'm going to tell you how to catch more muskies. And this is it. This is the ninja trick of the century. And it's a few tricks all at once, right? Study the crap out of your map. Most people won't do it. They'll sit around. They'll have a couple beers, maybe a cocktail. They'll look at a map and go, what a great place. They will spend 90% of their time on places they have gotten follows on. Moving on. Number two. The vast majority of the day, you need to be running baits deep and slow. Right? I make my living by slowing down and running baits deep and slow if I'm not in the sun up, sundown, or a major period. That's it. Right? if you move a fish or you find a place that looks productive or it has bait fish based on your 3-bait check or whatever you found in the book, hit it a bunch. Don't freaking look for a fish. Catch the ones that are on the spots you've identified bait on. That's it.
Yeah, don't blast by it. You know, blast by it and make a few casts. It's just like you just identified it as a primo right. spot. Do it.
Well, or maybe it's not primo. Maybe it's a B spot. But you don't know that. More casts on less spots. Running deeper. You have control of two things, speed and depth control. And one thing I'd say is this, is how fast you're running your boat has control over depth and speed control, speed and depth control, what you call it. Don't touch the troller when you're casting. Hit it where you're in between. If you slow your musky game down and you go deep 90% of the time, speed it up and run high. Sun up, sun down, major. Say it with me, Jay. When do we run high in the water column, Jay?
Sun up, sun down, major.
One more time. Sun up.
Sun up,
sun down, major. The rest of the time, what do? We slow roll something.
There you go.
We run a depth rater cast. We run a baby depth rater. We run a striker, a pounder. A headhunter. We run a MEPS giant killer, which would be probably my number one call, and we slow roll it. Now, you go, like, and I'm just telling you, I don't care anymore. I've written the book. I've done 4,000 podcasts. I traveled the entire muskie habitat range. I have nothing left to prove, right? What is costing you muskies, my friends, is your reeling hand. The reason you don't catch as many muskies as you want to is you cannot slow down your left or your right hand. That's it. That's it. I fish with most days. 90% of my time is spent with a 5-3-1 reel that has 3/4 of a spool on it. Jay, is that a freaking factor, is that a lie?
Yep, it is.
That's a fact. I'm not making it up when they call me Half Spool Steve. Booker came up with that nickname. I fish with a 5-3-1, a Boo Garcia reel, with 3/4 of a spool to slow it down. Right? Control your reeling hand. Control your retrieves. Muskies feed in an upward manner, correct, Jay? Forward yep. and up. Right? Your problem and everyone's problem musky fishing at all phases of the game, and this is the best tip I'll ever give you. It's freaking something I could write my diatribe on, put it on my tombstone. Level of light penetration. How deep can the light penetrate? Are we running below it or right on that edge? That's it. That is what it boils down to. Are we running below the level of light penetration, Jay? What does the word penetration make you think about, Jay? Bulldogs? Pounders? Pounders and penetration?
Seven-aught hook.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I have lost my freaking mind. Right? Steve McFeeders. What are and when are majors and minors? Check out the Muskie 360 app. It has it right there. It's listed as majors and minors.
Yep. Click on the thing that says moon.
Moon,
majors and minors, and yeah, there's what, you know, two major and two major minor periods and on every day, and it'll list the what hour and a half, 2 hour gap, and all that stuff, moon overhead, and all that too. That it's very relevant, important information.
M-O-O-N. That smells moon. Moon. Jay, what's your moon phase right now? Well, Jay, what's your sign?
What's my sign? Sign.
All right, Jay. Jason, love the podcast. Thank you both for all the knowledge. I'm looking forward to reading your book. You both helped me become a better muskie angler and put more fish in the boat. I'm from Kentucky, but I'm heading to the Lake of Woods on our first annual muskie trip. So my question is actually about braided line. I've been using 65-pound and 80-pound braid for the last two trips to Canada. I personally didn't have any problems, but my dad had 65-pound braid snap a couple of times. I decided to do a strength test.
Mm-hmm.
65 and 80 pound were breaking anywhere to 22 and 38 pounds pull forced. Testing with my scale. Is there another brand or strength you would recommend? I'm not even going to go on. I had this conversation with Jay one time, actually. So I fished with guys that are chasing those IGAF records, Jay, right?
Oh, yeah, I remember, right. Yeah.
And so the way you can test the strength, the tensile strength of a piece of monofilament or braid or whatever it might be, or tip it on a fly rod, pretty good thing is like a trigger pull scale, right? I don't know if they use those for bows, but trigger pull scales work. And I actually have a trigger pull scale at the house. I had a break off, and I was mad as a snake. Jay knows it. I took a major piece of braid from a major manufacturer, and it broke at 8 pounds. 1/10.
Not cool.
Not cool. I will tell you this. Test your braid and make sure that it's good. That's it. I mean, the muskie shop has the best stuff coming in fresh all the time. You go to like some rando place, that stuff might have sat there for 3 years. Right? I don't know what the shelf life is. I'm not an expert on the shelf life of braided lines. I can tell you that the thinner diameter braids, the slicker diameter braids, whatever it might be, can be problematic. Just check it. You know, I'll take a yard of my braid and wrap it on two ends of pliers and give it just the hardest yank I can between my arms. And I've actually broken 80-pound braid doing that. Quote unquote 80-pound braid.
Yeah, right.
Jay Cena, I have video go pop. Dude, I'm not He-Man. So
no, you're not.
Well, you're not either, baby. If I'm He-Man, you're She-Ra. Anyway, but, you know, just check this stuff out. I mean, I don't have a great pull strength test other than a trigger pull or putting a 3 feet distance on some pliers and checking. I'm going to take a yard and check it beforehand. It happens, dude. It, depending on what the manufacturer's doing, what their quality checks are, it just is what it is. Jay, what do you say? One more. What do you think? You got it.
Okay.
Yeah, we're rambling. It's my fault, right? Somehow this is my fault, Jay.
It's a late Sunday night in the city.
Hunter. Hey, Steve. Read the book and it was awesome. Definitely learned a lot. Thank you for all the info. My question is, in the book, you say you're using a Musky Shop 18-inch leader that you've had the lock snaps on them. That have the lock. Okay, the standard 8 Musky Shop leader. Are you still
fast
using?
Edge.
Yeah. Are you still using the no BS system with them by taking the snaps off and putting on a welded ring or a split ring on the end of the fluoro or not? Or so basically, he's asking: do I mod these leaders? Do I need to? Do I still do the no BS system? Right. It depends on what I'm throwing. So, if I'm dialed in on a minnow bait pattern, I will just put a split ring, a Super 7 Musky Shop split ring. I'll take the fastest snap off or the whatever snaps on there, take it off and put a Super 7 ring on there. So if I'm twitching shallow raiders or shallow invaders, I throw in tubes, by the way, I'll go with a split ring right there.
Okay.
When do I go no BS? Been a while. Sorry, Jay. Remember that horrible song? It's been a while.
Vaguely.
It's been a while since I was really focused on the BS system.
So bad.
You do it, Jay. Do it one more time.
It's been a while.
Since I was focused on God, that's a horrible song. Since I wasn't addicted.
It's one of those really bad 90s dumb rock songs,
dude,
right?
I'm going to tell you right now. Dude, one of the best concerts I've ever seen. I saw Stained in a venue that held 200 people, right, in West Virginia. I thought the roof was literally, the building was shaking. They were amazing, right?
And like, I saw Stained. Yeah, I saw them open for Avenged Sevenfold years ago.
Epic.
Yeah.
And then after that, I was like, it's been a while.
They do that song?
No. He's got Aaron Lewis does like country records now. It's like,
huh? So, no kid.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But when do I throw an OBS? Big fish.
Gliders.
No. It's one of those.
I don't use them, so I'm just asking.
Did we talk about this last week? Maybe I talked about it last week. Whatever. It doesn't,
did we?
Maybe. It all blurs together. I'm just going through emails. I rock the Musky Shop leaders. Musky Shop takes care of me on them. I'm never throwing old leaders anymore. When I was fishing on my own, I'm throwing old leaders. I was making my own out of AFW toothproof. I didn't want anything to get in the way that could break. I'm doing a stainless or a welded ring on the top and a split ring on the bottom. That was it. At times, I would be fishing gliders so hardcore that I would actually do a haywire twist on the nose of the glider with no with no split ring. So, if I'm dialed in, I will do a split ring attachment. If I know I'm not going to change baits, I'm throwing tubes, I'm throwing dogs, I'm throwing bucktails, right? Get rid of the, not the split ring, but the snap, right? That'll be about it. Merits of that, I don't know. I think leaders, I mean, I love Booker. He texts me today. He's down here in Tennessee for the holiday and stuff. I honestly think the quality of leader material is so much better now that we're pretty much good. You don't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. I will probably lose the biggest fish of my life to a failed snap now that I said that. That's just a jinx, Jay.
Yeah, it can happen.
Folks, I apologize for being the dumbest person in musky fishing. Jay, would you be the second dumbest?
Yeah, I'm right up there.
You're right up there, folks. It's been a while.
Oh, yeah.
Next week will be better, Jay. Promise. Tell them next week will be better. We won't be as rambly.
We've got huge plans in store. Do we?
No,
we don't. Okay. We will, though. We will.
The Musky Shop has huge plants in store. Next week is
we got petunias, geraniums, you name it.
You realize next week is the last podcast before I'm up in your grill hole.
It's unbelievable. I know. And then we're gonna have to do some podcasts in house at the Musky Shop.
And we will do from Musky Shop Studios.
Yeah.
Something ridiculous. Next week, obviously the big ramp up to the bash. Jay, just you know the way my year's been. I can't even believe it. I feel like I left Minocqua an hour ago.
It's going so fast.
It is. The older you get, the more time flies. Appreciate what you have. Love the ones you love. And if you can't be one with the one you love, Jay, love the one you're with. All right, Jay Bird. Say good night.
Good night, guys, and thank you.
Oh, man. I'm sorry, Jay. I'm very tired.
That's beautiful.
I heard all over. I'm like, well,
Go to bed early.
I'm like the one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest that is lost.
All right. Well, email me the intro. I'll email you a synopsis of the podcast.
Later.
I'm proud to listen to 360. It's the podcast for me. And I won't forget the pike I killed, cause they were not muskies. I can hardly stand up in my boat, cause I've had too much Pepsi. But I'll still listen to Muskie 360. God bless Muskie 360.